The views expressed on this Turnbuckle Tabloid live stream or Turnbuckle Tabloid podcast episode do not reflect the views, thoughts, or opinions of the RageWorks brand, including the RageWorks podcast network, RageWorks content partners, advertisers, and affiliates. Viewer and listener discretion is advised.
This is Grim Reaper, and you're listening to Turnbuckle Tabloid.
Turnbuckle Tabloid.
3, 2, 1.
So remember last week when I was doing an episode and I was telling that sometimes you wake up and you're not feeling yourself. Sometimes you're not in the greatest of moods. You're just not feeling it. It's like, eh, the drudgery of life and shit like that. Well, let's go to the flip side where this weekend was fucking awesome. This was a great week and weekend I had. I have to say, no argument here. None whatsoever. It's a great time to be a football fan. It's a great time to be a wrestling fan at the moment because, you know, that shit flips on a dime at any moment. And it's also a great time to be betting if you're good at betting sports. Because I'm not going to say that I have had, like, the biggest windfall this past week in bets, but I'm getting into this whole sports betting thing little by little. I'm appreciating the art of the bets and the wager. See, I'm one of those that I don't want to jump out the window and bet way too much. So I do little bets here, little soft money there. I know somebody at my job because now. All right, let me just give you a quick synopsis of what happened. So I have a coworker of mine, a good friend of mine at work who. He's been doing sports betting for some time. And, you know, he's telling me this is, you know, what they, you know, they give you certain bonuses. You sign up or if it's your birthday, they'll give you some extra money and all the stuff like that. So I was like, oh, okay. And this was before New York had it legal. So he had to go and sign up through another betting site. It would acknowledge New York's money, but it's a silly thing. So in any case, when New York finally get, you know, finally we get the sports betting law and it was passed, all the, if you guys have been seeing the commercials, especially if you're in New York, it's everywhere. You get the FanDuel, you get the DraftKings, Caesars, MGM, you're getting all these betting sites, these apps. So he sends me a link and he's like, yo, I know you was thinking about getting in. So try it. I said, listen, you know, you put 20 down, they're giving you 300 to play with. So you get $320. And then plus you get a bonus with a bonus code. So I said, okay. So you know what? Let me give it a try. $20. And, you know, I hate losing money, but I said, you know, $20. I put fucking $20 on Golf Clash on my phone or fucking, spades. I put that shit. So I said, I could do it with sports betting. I'm not winning money on fucking Golf Clash or spades, so I might as well try to win some money here. So my first weekend doing this, I was doing well. I was in the black. Was at maybe $100 and something in. I was like, oh, okay, cool. Then you know, during the past, you know, couple of days, whatever, I'll bet here. It was all right. I win, lose, you know, win some, lose some, that kind of thing. And this weekend was football. I don't know what I'm going to do once football is done. I mean, I do enjoy basketball. I might have to delve into certain bets with baseball. I might have to get into that. I've been doing some hockey bets here and there because I do enjoy hockey as well. But I'm like, I enjoy football more, and it'll lead into my next conversation. So, with football, hit a parlay, here, hit a prop bet there. The only parlay that I missed, I wanted to hit all four of the winning teams, and the fucking Packers blew it. Damn you, Aaron Rodgers. This is why your ass ain't going to be there no more, you fucking idiot. Should have took the vaccine, asshole. But he gets the L, but it's okay because the rest of my games, I did pretty well. And I also made a prop bet here and there about who had the most passing yards and blah, 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 blah. So I'm like, okay, okay. By the way, this weekend's football was outstanding. If you're not a football fan, I get it because it's not for everyone. But I've been a fan of football since I was maybe about 7, 8 years old. My uncle, who put me on to professional wrestling, always also put me into sports. And the biggest thing was football. I don't know why. I just gravitated to watching it early on. It was just I just loved the ferociousness, the way the game is played, what it's about. I can't explain it. But this weekend of football, if you aren't a football fan, I totally understand. But it would have been something for you guys to watch because it was extremely, extremely exciting, nail-biting. All the cliche terminologies that you could hear, say, or repeat, it's all that. It was everything. Fucking Packers. Every other fucking team hit for me. Fucking Packers, you fucking assholes. Shit. So, yeah. But other than that, welcome everybody to another episode of Turnbuckle Tabloid. I am your host, Mr. Ear to the Mat, the King of Talk Style, and as always, the Cheap Thrill, Jay the Red Santee. Make sure you check us out on all the social media outlets. Check us out on the like and group page on Facebook. Also, make sure you check us out on the Instagram at Turnbuckle Tab, as well as on Twitter at Turnbuckle Tab. And always be sure you check us out on YouTube and on TikTok at Turnbuckle Tabloid. Be sure you reach out and like, subscribe, download, stream, share on all the podcasting outlets that's available to you guys. Podbean, iHeart, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iTunes, where all podcasts are available, we are there. So make sure you check us out on all those podcasting outlets. And if not, always check out our family at RageWorksNetwork.com. RageWorksNetwork.com has everything under the sun that is connected and relevant to the world of RageWorks podcast. Black is the New Black, Toys and Text, Trek Untold, and of course, Turnbuckle Tabloid, and much, much more. Make sure you check us out at RageWorksNetwork.com. And always look at the live streams and reviews, previews, connections in the world and we love, which is pop culture. We always check out the family at RageWorks.net. RageWorks.net has everything under the sun that's connected to comic books, video games, movies, TV shows, all things that are prevalent in the world of pop culture, because we do it for the culture, baby. Pop culture, that is. So make sure you check us out at RageWorks.net. Speaking of video games, they finally dropped the WWE 2K22 announcement. I'm going to talk about that during Wrestling Rundown. I'm gonna say that I already put my money down on it. I already put my money down on the deluxe edition. Listen, I mean, if it's gonna be bad, I mentioned before, I'm still gonna get it. I'm gonna keep it. I'll collect the terrible shit. I'll still have it. Just to say, can you believe I spent X amount of dollars on this piece of shit? I'm just mad. Well, I'll talk about it later. It's stuff that I wish that they would have put on it. But nonetheless, we'll discuss that later. Also, what I'll discuss, not on this episode, but I'll discuss it in the next episode. I'm going to discuss your boy, Jay the Red Santee, was a guest of a friend of the show, our guy, Homicide, invited me to his induction into the Independent Wrestling Hall of Fame here in New York City. I was at his table, and there's much to talk about that. Nothing really you know, risque or controversial to talk about, but I'll discuss the environment, how everything was and how everything went. You guys are going to be hopefully entertained and learn something from it, because, you know, there's a lot of podcasters and a lot of individuals who want to get into the wrestling world, field, environment, if you say, but you need to learn some form of etiquette when you're around these guys, in which I'll share with you certain things. I shouldn't do this because I should just say, go fuck yourself, learn on your own like I did, but I'll give you a tidbit or two on the next episode to educate you, the masses, on that. So other than that, we have tons to talk about this week. We have wrestling rundown, as I mentioned, tons of stories to go down, and especially I want to dissect that promo in which Cody Rhodes did this past week on Dynamite. I was utterly disgusted by it, and I have my opinions, of course, on it, and you guys hopefully agree or disagree or whatever the case may be. It's fine. But most likely, I hope you agree with what I'm saying, because it's just fucking ridiculous. Also, you'll be surprised that this past week on Around the Square Circle, what I did enjoy this past week and what I watched this week, since we're moving away from NXT, a new show is being reviewed here. So we'll talk about that and much more. So, guys, don't go anywhere. Stick around. Much to talk about. See you guys in a sec.
Bring the in-ring action home to your tabletop with the number one wrestling card game in the world, Super Show the Game. And live all your wildest wrestling fantasies without ever taking a chair shot. Available on supershowthegame.com. Order today and join a spectacle so grand it can only be called the Super Show.
This is the game Triple H, and you are listening to Turnbuckle Tabloid.
It's Wrestling Rundown with Jay Santy.
Live from New York, it's
Turnbuckle Tabloid.
I don't know how people can put so much content on YouTube. That shit is monetized so much these days. The early days of YouTube was so much better. It's tough to be on there these days. You really gotta be, especially when it comes to like wrestling, you gotta be squeaky clean, because that's the audience that you want to get. You want to get the kiddies involved and all. And that's like me and my job. I always tell them, you know, because they ask me, you want to do overtime? The way I work does not work during your time, meaning when the bosses are around. And not to say that I do anything despicable or underhanded, but my style is very much not the way that they would want me to work, especially in the field that I work in. I'm very calculated and have to use certain vernacular and language to get across to individuals. And it's effective, but it only works on my tour, because during the day, I'm going to have a bunch of fucking supervisors all over my head saying, oh, that was good what you did, but, you know, maybe you should do. And I'm like, I'm not doing this. I'm not going to be doing all that shit. So the same thing is like with YouTube. It's my way of putting things over, not being able to be so streamlined and cookie cutter clean, is not the way that I'm going to be able to work on YouTube. Well, then you should change the way you speak then. Okay, then you need to shut the fuck up. How about that? But it's real. It's like, I mean, it, you know, I understand that it's a forum that it's run, and especially when it went under Google and shit like that, that it has its policies and shit. I get that. You know, I understand that you're not going to see porn or anything, but when it comes to language, and I've always been one of those, it's like, words are fucking words, depending on how you use them. If there's any malice or anger or threat or such, then I get that. But if I'm using the seven dirty words to describe wrestling, and it's just the way that we express ourselves as fans or media, then what's the problem? The fuck? Shit. I only said that because before I started the segment, I was on the YouTube page for a certain wrestling blogger, and I'm like, I can never do that. I don't want to do that. It's not never. I just don't want to do that. It's just too bad. So, as always, I am Norm MacDonald of this segment here. If you know what, I'll let the real Norm. I'll let him say it.
And this is Wrestling Rundown Week and Update.
So, kicking it off this week for Wrestling Rundown. WWE did not grant Mustafa Ali his release. Once again, here we go with the pettiness that is this fucker. Oh, shit. What the hell? that was weird. Yeah, that's what happens when you go searching for shit and you don't fucking, you don't check your, to see what's open. Once again, WWE starts off with its bullshit, with its, pettiness, because that's just basically what it is. It's just fucking pettiness. I'm not surprised. I mean, why would they, honor it? They're gonna hold him down. They're gonna tell him, hey, listen, until you know we feel as though that you can go, we'll let you go. But as for now, no, you will sit in limbo and just wait, and you will wait. I wasn't a fan that he went on social media to express his situation and let them know that he requested his release. I'm not a fan of that, but I'm also on the, you know, on the thought and the behest of it, which is, you give the guy no fucking choice. You really don't. You don't give him a choice. You're under contract. Okay, I'm under contract. So then release my contract. You're not going to use me. And then the shit that you want me to do, I'm not going to do it. So why even have me here? The this is Vince in his petty childish ways. And you know, because and it's not that he's gonna go to another company and be this extreme Nova superstar. No, he's just gonna go and he's gonna go work. But so it's like, okay, why are we not gonna let him go? He's gonna be a very good wrestler. He's gonna be a good addition to any promotion he goes to. But he's not going to be fucking kicking down doors. He's not going to be Kenny. He's not going to be Roman. He's not going to be fucking Moxley. He's not going to be Kevin Owens. He's not going to be Lashley. It's just ridiculous. Fucking Vince needs to, you know, I know this is his way of business practicing, but come on. It's not, you know, let the fucking guy go.
I am the best in the world at what I do.
So Sami Zayn, on the flip side, he resigns with the company. And you know, people are like, oh, that's stupid. Why the fuck would he do that? Because he could go to AEW and do so much, or he could go to Impact and get the blah 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 blah. Because Sami Zayn got fucking paid. End of the day, they're gonna pay him good fucking money to stay. Right now, he's in a nice position. He's doing good. You know, he's doing good things for the company. He's having a fun time doing it. He doesn't feel pigeonholed. He gets away with doing shit that a lot of people can't do. And if he tells these fuckers, I'm not going to Saudi Arabia, he's not going to go. And he's smart, because at the end of the day, he goes, if you're going to fucking release me, then you'll release me. It's okay. I can wait. I can wait the 90 days. Owens did the same shit. You know, and they're buddies, so they're like, you know what, fuck it. You know, make good money, probably in the seven figure a year kind of a contract that they have. Sammy's a great spokesperson and a representation for the company when it comes to diversity in the cultures, even though that, you know, Vince gets a lot of fucking heat, especially with the Mustafa Ali shit. But, you know, with Sammy's nationality, his origins and stuff, he's a great fucking example for what WWE's diversity is. So why not resign? I mean, let's be for real. It's a win-win situation for him. So everybody else is crying, is like, oh, they could do so much. Shut up.
Oh, a little bit of the bubbly.
So, I think I'm going to go back to that. Because, you know, when I do my notes, I have a... Just quickly, I'm going to give you a synopsis. So I take my notes. I put them on my phone. I have a memo page for my notes and shit, right? And this past week, for the fucking second time in a row, I don't know how I did this. I don't know how the fuck this occurred. But I deleted my memo for the show, what I'm doing for each week for the show. And I totally forgot, because I have a structure. I have it to what I want to talk about first, second, next, and all that such. And this is one of my, although I miss him entirely, I miss Oski for the show, because when he did Wrestling Rundown, you know, he had a structure and I was able to bounce off of it that way. And then when I had my rundown, I had it as well there, and it was easily to bounce off with. I could just go cross out. Now I have to, you know, I'm doing all this and it's like, I don't know how to fuck the delete shit. I don't know how to do it. I don't know how it happens. So now I have to find another app, or just stop being fucking Mr. Sloppy Fingers with shit. I don't fucking know. So any case, when I had my rundown, I forgot what was my rundown. So now I'm just bouncing all over the place. It's just me filling time. Any case, Bully Ray made some comments on the Busted Open show this past week in which he was discussing Moxley's return. And in his comments, and I'm paraphrasing, he says that Moxley owes the fans an apology for him leaving for a substantial amount of time to go into rehab. You know, I've always said that there was a certain individual in wrestling that I would love to have on a show or to have conversations with in wrestling. And I'm not much of a guy who really likes to bother people, or not even bother, or just, you know, interact with them, because I know how celebrities are. Even coming up, When I would go to auditions for movies and TV shows and shit like that, I would run into an occasional celebrity and such. And I never wanted to have interactions with them, because I knew that, A, you know, a lot of times they're focused on something else. You know, B, that they're busy doing something else. They're probably constantly getting interrupted or just disturbed by other fans and celebrities and shit. So whenever I would, you know, I would want to have a conversation with somebody, I limit it, and, you know, I try my best not to do the whole mark out fanboy kind of shit. But one individual who I actually had thoughts about wanting to have conversations with and such was Bully Ray, because Bully Ray has been known to be very smart when it comes to wrestling. He was learned and schooled under the wrestling learning tree under guys like Paul Heyman and Tommy Dreamer and such. So I would have liked to have conversations with him about his thought process of being in the business and how to book and such like that. Just, you know, whatever. And plus, him being a New York guy and such, I figured that we would have somewhat of a connection. And I've told the story before about met him at a House of Glory show. It was a bad night. They had I learned later on that they lost their luggage. He and Devon lost their luggage in the airport and such, and he was very pissy. But Devon was really cool. He was a really good guy. He still had a smile on his face, and he was good to the fans, but Bully was just a fucking dick. Straight up. And I was fucking a couple of fucking drinks in, and I was trying to be somewhat witty. We were dressed like Dudleys and shit like that. You know, we had a mark-out moment that day. And you know, I had to kind of have a conversation with him. He just, he was very standoffish. He was a real prick. I would say that he was nice to my daughter at the time, but, you know, if you're going to be a dick to a kid, then you shouldn't even be in the fucking business. So, any case, Bully Ray this week had the conversation about Moxley having to apologize to the fans for him taking time off because of his rehab. The first time I read into this and I looked at it, I immediately said, what a fucking asshole. What a fucking asshole. You know, him seeing and knowing all the people around him in the business who've had their issues, their demons, their problems, and who have either not made it, died, or have serious repercussions from their abuse and their demons and such. You're really going to sit there and say that the fans are owed an apology to them because of him trying to fix himself, because the shit that he's been doing for many years to earn money and to bring entertainment to us as fans? I could give two shits. I don't give two fucks on whether or not he had to go into rehab. That's that man's choice. That's that man's life. The only people that he has to do this for, he doesn't have to do it for me. He doesn't have to do it for the executives. The only people he owes that to is to himself and to his family. And he doesn't even have to apologize to them. His wife, his family, they don't give two fucks about an apology. All they give a fuck is that if he feels the need to have to do this and fix himself, then that's what he's going to do. I mean, honestly. Now, speculatory. Do I think there was something a little bit more than what it was said was the alcohol was drinking? I said, yeah, I think there was a little bit more than that. I honestly do. I think that he might have found a leniency on certain other barbiturates and other medications, if you know what I mean. But as for him owe an apology to anyone, you gotta be fucking kidding me. And Bully's a real ass for that. I like that a lot of guys called him out on it. Guys like Mark Henry and Booker T called him out to tell him, let him know, like, hey, that's nonsense. The fuck is wrong with you people? Other than that, shout out to Moxie for making his return. We'll talk about it in around the square circle. We'll talk about his return and what looks like it's going to be coming down the line for him soon. So, yeah.
Stupid.
So apparently Leo Rush's contract with AEW expires in February. He must have been on a 6-month contract. Run there, and I know there's a lot of people out there that's hot and cold about this, and I've been reading a lot of comments on social media where they don't understand why they gave him a short term contract, why didn't they extend it? And I have to say that I am a big fan that they did this, that Tony Khan and the rest of the crew did this for numerous reasons. It is not just for him. I think this is something that should be done for many wrestlers. I think that this is something that is very throwback and very old school. Because when it was in, during the territory, sometimes they didn't have contracts. They just had individuals who came in to do a run. You were entitled to a certain amount of days or weeks for a run. And then you bounce to the next territory. So for an individual like Leo Rush to get a contract like this, and I say this for him because he's a guy who... I'm not even going to go with his constant retirement or his fucking, his often times announcing that he's having disputes or issues with certain promotions. I'm not even going with that. I'm going with the fact that he's with the professional way of him just going off and enjoying the circuit to where he likes to wrestle from promotion to promotion, promotion to promotion. Like this past weekend, he was just at a GCW's event at the Hammerstein. So I'm not mad at that. The short term contracts are actually good. It frees up talent to broaden their brand, and possibly later on, if they become marketable or something where they're necessary for a longer run, you could sign a year contract. I think it's a smart idea. Now, to double back for Leo Rush, as per his attitude, yeah, this is a guy who needs to have contracts like that. He needs to have short-term contracts because of his reputation in the business to continue to be maybe not trustworthy with, you know, honoring obligations or being, let's say, a company guy, if you know what I'm saying. So I think it works very much for him, and it should be done more in the business.
Oh, a little bit of the bubbly.
So WWE 2K22 has been announced finally with a big presentation this past week. And I'm telling you, they're going to get me. They are going to get me to believe that this actually might be good. There's a lot of reviewers who have seen the game, and they're really excited about the possibilities of certain modes, the presentation, and such. So I don't know. We've heard this before. Apparently the GM mode has been renovated. Has been renovated. Also the My Universe mode has been changed and altered as well. There's some speculation and stuff that it's been changed to where you can now, instead of focusing on a whole show, you could basically focus on said talent and run them through the shows so that you can have them have their angles and such. With the GM mode, each GM that they're having to be used for whatever you want to use them for, there's certain attributes to them that help. It's almost like when you play, if you play Madden, you get lifelong fan, you get, business, or you get a player owner. So it looks like 2K has gone that route as well. The graphics look, from what I saw, and like I said, it's right now, these are just the cells, and I'm not sure whether or not what they're pushing more of the look for. Is it the PS5 version or the PS4 version? But it looks as though I was looking at, there was a point where they had Bobby Lashley being chokeslammed, and his facial structure, when he gets grabbed, you could see the look of struggle in his face of being choked. Now, here's my shit. Is that a cinematic piece or is that a gameplay piece? that makes a whole lot of difference, because like in the NBA 2K series, when you're playing as let's say something occurs where a person is getting dunked on or someone's making a big shot, you could see the excitement in their face when it happens or it's occurring and they're coming down field and such. I want to see if that is how the animation is going to go through, if that's going to occur. I don't want to be sold a bill of goods thinking that this is going to be happening and it's just cinematic fucking purposes. I want to know if this is going to be a constant. The other thing that I'm looking forward to is they changed the mechanic of the controls, which was desperately needing an overhaul, especially from the last game. I think 2K19's controls, which was pretty much similar to the rest, I think that one was more along the lines of more player friendly, but I do think that they needed something else to be there. There's certain wrestling games that are just pick up and play pretty easy. They said with this, you might have to go through you should go through the tutorial, but it makes it a little bit more easier for you to understand it more. So I'm looking forward to that. The one thing in particular that I want immensely to happen with this game is to be... Oh, by the way, before I go into that, they said the GM mode and I believe Universe mode is going to be able to have co-op play either couch or online, to where you and another person could go head-to-head as GMs or wrestlers during a run, which that is going to be fun. I would love to do that week by week with Olski, seeing that Olski's in Florida and we don't really have, you know, play games and such like that. That would be fun for us to do, to interact with and such. And whoever is out there, hopefully Josie's boy gets it as well. We could fucking partake in that as well. That would be so fun to do. But the other thing that I'm looking forward to for this to happen with the game is I'm a big fan of the creation suites. I want to see what they're going to add to this and what more they're going to do with that aspect of the game, because I love seeing people create superstars. Sometimes I like to sit and create my own, depending on if I have the time to do it and such. But I always create me. I always do that. Because, you know, I've always had great ambitions to be a wrestler. Fuck out of here. But no, I want to see the magic that happens with the creation suites and what we can add for that. But I'm not hyped yet. Not yet. It sounds like it, but I'm not hyped yet, because we've been bullshitted before. We've been gaslighted before. I'm just going with the fact of what they've been saying now. And a lot of people who have been doing the reviews, it's been known that they have been, they've been paid on the side to say good shit. Yeah, I put money down on it already. Fuck that. I'm going for the whole milli. Now, the downside to this for me is I wish that they would have done, since this is like a revamp, the relaunch of the game, since we missed a year from it. Two things that this is one downside and one that I wish that I'm hoping that they'll do. So the downside for me is I wanted to have the deluxe package to have, you know, the big shit, you know, Funko Pop or a t-shirt or something autographed. The last game, 2K20, had Edge, autograph of the ring apron. I got that. I got those. I pretty much every year that they have the Uber deluxe shit, I get it. They haven't announced anything for that yet, but let's see what happens. Maybe it changes up in the next couple of weeks or so. And finally, what I want to see happen is with the season pass, because I get the season pass every year. I want updates, weekly or bi-weekly or monthly updates. It's just like how the NBA 2K series does, where they update uniforms, or even Madden does it. Madden has updates. They have their depending new uniforms come out, or if new theme music comes out for wrestlers, that you know, let's get that updated. If Kevin Owens or Roman or Seth comes out with a new shirt, they now have a new shirt that's out there. Ray gets a new color gear, like a different colored gear, something like that. I want that as part of my season pass. Don't just give me like, you know, you get the DLCs that are coming out and good luck with that. No, if I'm a season pass owner, I want all in. Give me the good shit. So let's see what happens with that.
Your face looks like my nuts, except you got a hairier bush.
So I had to look this up because the story broke last week and I didn't really pay attention too much to it because I just thought it was ridiculous when I heard it. And then it started getting some traction on social media and the news outlets. And I said, let me look into it more. So I actually did some research and I screenshotted the articles. The Toronto Star posted a story about the booking and the competition between WWE and AEW in Canada. They revealed that the average viewership for SmackDown in Canada was about 155 viewers in 2021. And on TSN, it was 104. The gap is much closer than 24 to 25 demo, with SmackDown having 71 viewers more than Dynamite, having 71,000 viewers, and Dynamite having 64. The story led to WWE provide a statement on AEW's edgier product, where they took a shot at the violence shown on AEW's wrestling. If you look at the gory self-mutilation of that bloodiest several women in the December 31st event on TNT, it quickly becomes clear that these are very different businesses. We had an edgier product in the Attitude Era, and in 2022, we don't believe that the type of dangerous and brutal display is appealing to network partners, sponsors, venues, children, or general public as a whole. Okay, so you guys already know I'm not a big fan of the fucking ridiculousness that AEW does every week. Every fucking week is a table spot. Hell, they had to do it this week. I think they did two of them this week. I've been saying for the longest that AEW cannot rely on its own merits of having just wrestling matches. There's always got to be a step. There's always got to be some kind of next level additions to with props or shock value nonsense. You can't just have a straight up wrestling match without it being something attached to it. Granted, you had your 60-minute Broadways, you had your 30-minute Broadways. That's understandable. Those are, but when it comes to it, at the end of the day, you cannot run a show without just having straight wrestling. The same could be said with WWE. WWE always has to have their own stipulations: fatal four-ways, triple threats, eight-man tags. Okay, now we speak about the self-mutilating gore factor. WWE is being very hypocritical with this. They really are. There is a hypocrisy going along with this because, hey, you know, didn't we just try a run where we was taking people's eyeballs out? I mean, seriously. You're not far from it. Hell, you have first. Well, you haven't done it in a while, though. But yeah, you still have in your time being first blood matches or hardcore. Now, are they right about the whole premise of selling the product to a certain demographic and genre of individuals and age ranges and stuff? Yes. And this is why I said WWE is not the same as AEW when it comes to that in viewership, because at the end of the day, parents aren't going to really allow their kids to watch AEW unless they're that type of parents who think they're going to be cool or the kids maybe. I don't think I would had allowed Sully to watch AEW if she was 5 or 6. But she would watch WWE. But when it came to something that would be like, let's say, a First Blood match or Burnt Alive or Buried Alive kind of thing, that's when you have to have that, you know, that conversation with yourself. Like, yeah, maybe you shouldn't be watching that right now. It's called parenting. But WWE, let's not kid ourselves and believe that we are higher or holier than thou, that we have not gone that route. We've busted people open. Remember Brock Lesnar versus Randy Orton? Remember Brock Lesnar versus John Cena? We're not that far off. And it's only been a couple of years since it happened. Hell, the whole eyeball shit was during a pandemic time. So we're not that off base to when it comes to having our gore factor be implemented in our viewing experience. It's happened. We've been there before. Was I a fan of the Fatal 4-Way with the women? No. The tag match? No. Am I a fan of the Lights Out shit, which, by the way, they're doing again? Oh, we'll talk about that in the Round Square Circle. Oh, they're doing it again. But even so, it's a different audience for different people. I'm not upset with AEW when they... Well, I kind of am, but it's... I'm more inclined to say that it's repetitious. It's too much. You're trying to implement what the indies are doing to what mainstream is and trying to mesh it, and it doesn't work. But WWE, you're also inclined to have your issues because you can't gravitate to an audience or grab an audience because you don't want to recognize other avenues of wrestling. Hell, back in the days, they had barbed wire matches, or they had street fights and such like that. But you know, it was a build up to it. You could still have these kind of matches, but WWE is not going to do it anymore because they're going to say, well, you know, the Peacock Network is not going to allow a First Blood match. Yeah, because if you never watched fucking Blacklist and you've never seen anybody get shot and blood never came out of them. Or you never watched any of the Chicago shows in which somebody was stabbed or they never seen blood. It's ridiculous. So there is a level of hypocrisy with WWE when it comes to that. You really need to check yourself because... Honestly, yeah, it's ridiculous to say that it's more of an AEW thing than a WWE thing. Stop it.
It's good to be the champion.
I spoke about it last week. It was part of the cutting a promo last week, but I guess I'll elaborate on it this week. The Volta name change to Gunther, and of course they had, you know, someone had to explain that it's not Gunther, it's Gunther. Okay, fine. And I guess someone got the memo to say that Gunther Stark is not a good name to use because, you know, Nazi ties. So they cut the Stark part out and just left him Gunther. Okay. And, you know, Finn Balor made a comment. He's like, hey, people didn't like Finn when I first came in. Fine, but they didn't drastically change your name to erase your legacy. They changed it because you own the name. They can't own Prince Devitt, just like they can't own Volta. So what they're doing is they're making him Gunther because it's the possibility that he is going to be a name for the company. It has nothing to do with the fact that the name change. Name changes happen often. That's understandable. But you people didn't do, you know, first of all, you didn't do your research. And then you also are doing it and be honest and be like, and be clear. It's like, his name is Gunther because we can't fucking own Volta because that's his name. He owns it. There was no real story behind it. There's no real legacy. I will no longer be known as Volta anymore. I'll be known as Gunther. I am now known as... You didn't even give him a backstory to say, my legacy as an Austrian comes from the livelihood of my grandfather, Gunther, whatever the fuck his last name is. And it's, he grabbed bears and wrestled them to the ground, and he took an alligator and fucked it in the head. You know, give him, and for that, being a man that he was, I am going to name myself Gunther. You could have done something like that. Not just sit there and just say, hey, my name's Gunther now. That's what it is. Like it or love it. Whatever. It's just lazy, and it's not forthcoming to your viewers. That was just my whole hiccup about shit.
I am the best in the world at what I do.
So there's reports of Cody Rhodes being a free agent, and we hear some of that in his promo this week. And it's one of those deals in which Triple H has, if you guys don't know, Triple H has he has two separate contracts, two separate deals. One is he as an executive, and the other is he as a talent. So what I think that what they're not telling you is that Cody's working without a contract as talent. People are thinking about, oh, well, that means he could go to the Royal Rumble. No, because WWE's not going to do that. I kid you not. If that would occur, that they would allow an AEW talent to go on there, it wouldn't be Cody. It would probably be Mox. The more likely would be Jericho. Maybe even Hardy, but I think it would be Jericho. But I don't see that happening at all. It's more feasible that they do a working relationship with like Impact or possibly old Ring of Honor talent. I would have said MLW, but you know, now that they have their fucking their legal aspects going on with each other, I don't see that occurring. Or maybe NWA. I would like to see a Nick Aldis show up. I mentioned that before, but Cody would not be going there. And Cody's going to get his contract. It's probably going to be, like I mentioned earlier, it's probably going to be a short-term deal because Cody has aspirations to do other shit. He's probably going to go Hollywood or, I don't know, fucking run for Senate in whatever state he wants to live in, whatever the fuck it is going on. I know somewhere his father's like, oh, my Cody, what are we doing, son? Why is it that you are doing the other things that you should be doing, but instead of doing it for wrestling? Why? My young Cody. Fucking Dustin is like, hey, give me a check. I'm good. Fuck it. It's just ridiculous. We know he's going to get re-signed anyway.
Feel like I'm watching one of my movies, because this whole damn thing sucks.
Just quickly, I was recently watching SmackDown, and I saw that Eric Bischoff was on there this week. I'm a fan of this. Give me more Bischoff. I want more Bischoff on SmackDown. I want more Bischoff on Raw, but more Bischoff on WWE. I guess WWE saw that, you know, maybe Bischoff gives a ratings bump to AEW, and since Bischoff could be used more as an on-air talent as opposed to being an executive and such, it works better. And I also see that Bischoff has been very much vocal about that on his podcast, where he wouldn't want to go back to the old ways of going back to Connecticut and changing his life for that. He's happy where it is. But if they use him in that talent kind of role, it fits his schedule perfectly. And I'm not mad at that. I think that works perfectly for him. So I'm a fan. Give me more Bischoff, please. All right, to close up this week's wrestling rundown, I want to discuss Cody Rhodes' promo this past week. I'm going to do a watch along with you guys and discuss my likes and it wasn't really much I liked about this, but you know what? Let's just get into it.
I'm reminded from that last match about a man who once sat on a stage just like that, looked in a ring just like this, and he gave one of the most important addresses in the history of our sport. It inspired thousands of would-be wrestlers. It mobilized literally millions of fans. It was the first hint of a revolution. I am talking about CM Punk and the pipe bomb.
Now, I know a lot of people who heard this promo, and the first thing that they said was that they equated this to CM Punk's pipe bomb. Punk pulled the curtains back and did quote unquote shoot on what was going on. Okay. Yes, Punk did that. And yes, it was shocking. And yes, at the time, it was revolutionary. But it was revolutionary because no one was doing that. The last time you heard anybody who was shooting that way would be in ECW, or, you know, Heyman has his moments here and there. But Heyman didn't really, when he got to WWE, never really pulled it back so much. He sprinkled it, innuendo here and there. Hell, Cena did when he came back, he did his promo way. He talked about, maybe if I do a dance, I'll do a possible heel turn or something of that magnitude. Paraphrasing. And it was attention grabbing when Punk did it. It was real. My issue with what Cody's doing now is that we're hearing it way too much with the AEW roster, where they talk like marks. They talk like the fans. You're supposed to be bigger than that. You know, I know they sit there and they go, oh, you know, the fans aren't stupid. Yeah, but this is the reason why that there's a mystique that should be with wrestling. For that, you just go out there and don't do moves. Don't do choreographed moves. Just go out there and fight. Beat the shit out of each other for real. If the fans aren't stupid, let them know, hey, listen, this finisher doesn't really work. This is what I do. I fucking protect his head when I go and drop on him on the ground. Like, I really don't hit him. I just, I give him a glancing blow. Right? This is what you're doing. So why not just go the full fucking Monty with it?
Someone told me to save this promo, but I honestly don't know if I'm going to get the chance.
Oh my God. Once again, talking like a fucking mark, talking like a fan. Somebody said to change this promo. Stop talking like that. Stop. Your father's looking down on you right now going, what are you doing? What are you doing, my son? Why are we doing this? Why are you talking like a fucking fan?
I'm going to do it now. In that interview, that was the first whiff of a revolution. He laid out a roadmap.
It wasn't an interview, it was a promo.
He listed things. Things that for him, for somebody like me, were taboo at the time. Things like going to New Japan Pro Wrestling, working with Ring of Honor. And ultimately, he would talk about teaming with the Young Bucks.
Okay, so Once again, when that promo occurred, I really don't remember him saying about the Young Bucks thing, but okay. When he talked about going to New Japan and talking to Ring of Honor, I think it was because his contract was up. It wasn't hidden by WWE. They actually released that his contract was up. Guys, watch Best in the World, the DVD. Watch him. And also listen to his shoot interviews with Colt Cabana and Shipp. It wasn't a hidden secret. They released it and they wanted him to shoot on it. They wanted him to pull back the curtain, and they trusted him to do that because they knew that he was such a fan of wrestling and a lover and a professional that they would allow him to take whatever he felt and his gripes and his feelings of what was going on at that time and express it, but also have a sense of protecting the business.
As destiny would have it, as fate would have it, he was unable to do those things, but he would join. He would eventually wind up here in what Pro Wrestling Illustrated called the comeback of the year. But if we're being honest with one another,
Homicide should have got it.
See all the CM Punk shirts. It is the comeback of the decade. We are all living it. We are all loving it. But in his absence, in the void that CM Punk left behind, somebody did do each and every one of those things. I did them.
Okay.
I carried every ounce of anti-monopoly sentiment on my shoulders. I held every grain of the revolution in my hands, and each and every one of you cheer.
Remember when Cody had his list when he left and he put out that picture of him who wrestlers he want to wrestle, which was cool. I actually was supportive of that. I thought that was cool. I was like, okay. It was innovative. It was a good thing because then you had a lot of other wrestlers who followed suit and was doing the same. And, you know, he had a checklist and he, you know, checked off all the boxes and he did well. He had substantial runs. He had his run in New Japan. He had his run in Ring of Honor. And, you know, he got to wrestle who he got to wrestle and wanted to wrestle. Dope. By the way, met the guy. He was a really nice guy. This has nothing to do with him personally because I met him. He's a really good dude. He's a real nice guy. I'm just talking about this whole spiel with the wrestling thing. Now, I know for me, I'm looking at this and I'm listening to this and I said, oh, this is such a fucking work. It's a, as people would want to fucking call it if they were in the know, it's a work shoot, whatever. I'm more like, this is such a work, but he just sounds like a fucking fan. He's a mark for himself so much. He's so over with himself. And this is what is bothering about me. It was bothering me about Cody. And I was a big fan of Cody. Even in his days in WWE, I was a big fan of Cody. Even with the Dashing, with Legacy, with even Stardust, I fucked with. I was cool with all that shit. Because I liked his business sense. I loved the business, the way he came in with it. But now here in AEW, it's like, go home.
You want to ask why I won't turn heel? It's because you cheered me when I needed the most. When it says there is more than one royal family in wrestling, I am talking about me and all of us.
You want to know why I don't turn heel? Shut up. Shut up with that shit. Shut up. Stop talking like a fucking mark. It's all an act. Yeah. Yeah, the zombies ain't Walking Dead. They're not real. They're just fucking people dressed up in it. When they get shot in the head, it's all CGI. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We fucking know. Can you imagine if Rick turned around during The Walking Dead and was just like, well, you do know that I really don't die or I don't really get hurt. This is all fake blood. That's all it is. Or if you're watching when any other DC fucking TV show like Legends of Tomorrow, the villain turns around and he just says, you know, I really don't like them. I don't like them as actors. I mean, as villains, I have to play as I have to be a villain. But in real life, I really don't like them. They're just assholes. No, I'm just kidding. No, we actually go to fucking now. We have lunch together. We do brunch. You know, this fucking guy loves to drink mimosas until fucking 12 o'clock in the afternoon. It's insane. Stop. Come on.
People talk about the forbidden door. It's a proper noun. It's vernacular. But if you are an industry journalist who covers what we do and you disagree with anything that I say here tonight, you're not a journalist. As this generation likes to say, check the receipts, check the dates before there was a forbidden door. I was the one who built it.
I'm not mad at that. I'm okay with that. It's nothing that's really hurting the business or talking out of turn. I'm okay with that statement.
And I am gone. I'm gone for 2 weeks. 2 weeks. And I see that the Young Bucks last week in the opening segment almost started the Wednesday Night Wars all over again. And listen, I know Red Dragon graduated hip toss class with flying colors, but I don't need to see the Bucks beat the developmental more than once.
And we're back.
My Trelawney-like friend in Ricky Starks, my real-life friend, gets into a tiff with Jay Lethal? Word to the wise, the lethal injection is the one cutter in the business that people don't kick out of. Avoid, avoid, avoid.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You're talking way too much. You're talking way too fucking much. That right there, that statement alone took me to the point where I was like, fuck Cody. This is stupid. That's just fucking stupid. Okay, you know, there are moves that are protected, right? Finishers that are protected. But really, you just really want to open the bag and just, what are we doing this? Are you doing this to let Jay Lethal know, you gotta do a new finisher now because your shit is washed. Okay, then stop doing the fucking crossroads. Oh, stop doing it 3 fucking times. Why? Because you think you're better than somebody because now you have to do it 3 times to finish someone off? It's like Brian Kendrick had mentioned one time in a shoot interview. He says, finishers are stupid because when you're watching a boxing match or a UFC match, nobody does a finishing kick move or nobody does a finishing knockout move or a knockout punch. They just do it. A fight just finishes. It just ends. And we were just watching, and you'll listen to it in the next episode of the Watch Along. Holmuck and I are watching a match, and the match just finished because Rick Steiner just hits his opponent with a running clothesline, and that's it. And I go, I laugh at it. I go, okay, that's okay, cool. But it just happened, and maybe that's just what knocks people out. But what brings in the dollars is the finisher, because that's the climax of the match. Sure, there's moments in a TV show to where if you're watching Chicago PD and you're seeing the build up to what can be something climactic, and you're like, oh my God, is he gonna die? And he goes, oh no, they didn't die or whatever. But in the last 5 minutes, he's walking to out the precinct to get in his car, and a fucking car blows up. That I get. That I get. You have a surprise finish. I get that. But when you're talking about someone's finisher, you just buried Jay Lethal right then and there. Why would you do that? Why?
And then one of the most talented wrestlers on the planet that you're going to see later, Malakai Black. A guy who hung 2 losses on my name, and everybody knows I hate to lose. A man who needed no help, added insult to injury by getting help in the form of just this size and speed and strength. And I know we're not in the business of renaming people like Gunnar McGillabuddy or whatever the hell it is.
Okay, I'm okay. I'm okay with that shot. I'm cool. I'm cool with that. Because at least it's taking shots at the other company. I get that. I'm cool with that. Because I would have probably said the same shit. And I would wish, and I said it before, I would wish that WWE would volley and do the same shit. And they use Kevin Owens, or they use Seth Rollins, or they use Sami Zayn to be the proprietors to set off shots. But I wouldn't be upset if other talent would do it. I guess they give a restriction to them to do that. Hell, Roman should do it. Roman should fucking sit out there and call people out. Bobby should do it. Brock should do it. But nah, I'm okay with this one.
Not just speed and strength, balls. Because if you come to AEW and you call yourself Brody, you've got balls. And I'll let you find out in 8 years what a mistake that was when that kid shows up. But speaking of Brody, speaking of Darby, of Miro, and of the TNT champion, Sammy Guevara. These are men, a lineage, a legacy of champions who taught you what you had been taught against.
Which, by the way, why would Tony Khan allow him to come in as Brody King? That's interesting. Why would he allow him to come in with that?
Everyone had been conditioned for 20 years that any title that doesn't have the word "world" in it is a secondary belt. But we don't have secondary belts. The only way it's secondary is because right now there's two.
Now, for you guys who don't know, Cody is a big fan of mid-card belts. If you guys didn't know, when he was in WWE, when they brought back the Intercontinental belt design, remember the white belt, the way it looked? That was Cody who paid for that belt. He bought that belt. He paid for it out of his own pocket, and he wanted to bring back the belt and its look for its prestige. And I respect that, that he respects that as a, I guess, how would they say these days, the glow up of it. It's the next level belt. And then, of course, you know, once Cody left and he pissed down their fucking their water fucking filter, they changed the belt. They went to some other shit, which after a while, you know, I did kind of like it in the beginning. Now I'm looking at it again. I'm like, now this shit looks like trash. But yes, he's a fan of the mid card, and I could see why he has such high regards for this title.
I think it's pretty clear what we do. I know Tony Khan has sent a contract in the mail to Sammy Guevara and myself. Maybe it's not the contract I wanted.
Not mad at that. I'm okay with that.
But Sammy, at this point, beach break, 2 titles, 1 champion.
Is it an irony or is it a rib that you guys are having a match called Beach Break during the winter and it's like in one of the fucking coldest cities in the world? I guess I don't know.
Oi, Sammy Guevara, what do you say?
So basically, he's alluding to a unification title match with a ladder match. And
talking a ladder match.
As much as you sit there and talk shit about WWE and all that shit, but you sure enough are gonna use their fucking their gimmick matches to put it over, right? Yeah. Like I said, fucking Cody, man. What you did is nowhere equivalent to what Punk did with the pipe bomb. It's nowhere in the same realm. And I really think that you're losing yourself in what you had thought was wrestling. Cause now you're being an ass. But what do I know? I'm just a wrestling podcaster who doesn't know shit, who's on the outer rim and who just enjoys wrestling for what it used to be. And for what it now is just caters to fucking blood, gore, and cheap pops from the crowd. Not even fucking legit buildups and security to where you guys could actually sell a legitimate match without having to add lights out, tables, and fucking thumbtacks for your main event, whatever. Guys, when we come back, we're going to have Around the Square Circle and much, much more as I continue to sip on my brewskis. Don't go anywhere. Stick around. We'll be back. Check you guys in a sec.
Vince, please. Can you please?
Can you please?
Give Paul a company. Oh, can you please? Pretty please.
Pretty please.
Give Paul a company. Whole company. Raw sucks on Monday night. SmackDown's a horrible sight. The ratings hitting lows. No one's is going to shows. Talent is jumping ship. Creative has lost their minds. The wild card rule is lame. Please, God, something needs to change. Triple H has got some pull to bring the product back. Vince is old and out of touch. It's getting serious. Vince, please.
Vince, please.
Can you please?
Can you please?
Give Paul the company. Oh, oh, can you please? Pretty please.
Pretty please.
Give Paul the company. Whole company. Oh,
this is Larry Legend, and you are listening to... this is Larry Legend, and you're listening to the Turnbuckle Tabloid. I'll do it again, I'm sorry. this is Larry Legend, and you're listening to the Turnbuckle Tabloid Podcast.
Because I'm fucking pissed because what I had for my rundown got deleted accidentally. Shit. Hey, it's all right. I'll figure it out. I'll figure it out. I'll do what I have to do for the next week, so I'll be all right. But around the square circle, ladies and gentlemen, it's Wrestling Rundown's sister around the square circle. We want to talk about what's going on in the world, ladies and gentlemen. And just quickly, just want to give a, because the only thing that I have that I remembered on my notes were the conversation that occurred on Jim Cornette's a podcast where he discussed Terminus Wrestling, which, by the way, I'm very much intrigued to follow and watch. I want to get into it. Terminus Wrestling is, I believe, a promotion that's created by Jonathan Grisham, and the rules of this of the company is pretty much as the pure championship rules that they have. I'm not sure if they do the rounds thing, but I know that they have certain rules and such where two fouls is a disqualification. You could lose by knockout. It's very in depth when it comes to it. It's more of a technical style. There's not that hardcore deathmatch kind of quality to it. I think it's one that I know that I would be very much interested to view. So I'm gonna start checking that out little by little more and more. So you'll you guys will be getting some more feedback from me about it in weeks to come about the set promotion. So let's get into WWE Raw. This week's Raw kicked off with Becky Lynch meeting Doudrop in the ring, and Becky said that the women's division has never been hotter, and it's all because of her, meaning Becky. Becky says she makes people better, and doing that, as she claimed that Doudou will never be a champion. Becky continued to speak until Bianca Belair declared that she would enter the 2022 Royal Rumble match and will win the belt for the second time. And this is when Liv Morgan declared that she will be part of the Royal Rumble as well. Royal Rumble's champion Becky Lynch and Doudrop wrestle Belair and Morgan. Becky and Doudrop get the win. After the match, Doudrop attacked Becky, which is building up to their Royal Rumble match. We pretty much know that Becky's going to win, right? Okay. Kevin Owens hosted the Kevin Owens Show with Seth Rollins. Owens said that Seth is his best friend, and Seth set the table for Roman, and basically said that because of Seth, it's the reason why the Shield were who they were. Seth claimed that Roman is scared of him, and this is the reason why he had to send the Usos to whip his ass. He didn't say that, you know. I said it. I just do that. Seth then said that after he defeats Roman at the Royal Rumble, he will then turn the Universal title back to the Red Brand and bring it to Raw. Owen said that he has earth-shattering news in which that he's going to win the Men's Royal Rumble. And once he wins, he is going to propose that they face off at WrestleMania. Then we get Kevin Owens defeating Damian Priest after Owens faked being injured and got the win. Chad Gable held a graduation for Otis, but Riddle interrupted. Gable then told Riddle he knows he wants a rematch for the Raw titles, but it will only be given if RK-Bro can defeat the Alpha Academy in a Alpha Academy academic challenge. And this is why I say go to sleep. But then I said, no, let me wait for a second, because usually around this time, this is when I start going to take a nap for work. They do it just to prove we'll see who's more intelligent. Randy came out and took out Gable with the RKO, and Riddle took out Otis. Backstage, Vince tells Austin Theory, if he fails to defeat Finn Balor tonight, he will beat him up. And, you know, I thought this was actually be a good thing for Austin to go through with Vince, but are we just keeping Vince on TV because we think that it's drawing numbers? I don't know. I'm not opposed to the mentoring thing between Vince and Theory, but I don't know. He then said that he would take Theory out and send it to Theory's mother, which would be the selfie that he takes after he beats the shit out of him. Theory and Balor have a match. After the match, in which Theory wins, he continued to attack Balor. And I know everybody's talking about Vince is giving up on Balor. No, I think Balor is probably going to be like one of those guys like Cesaro, Owens, and Sammy, where money's good and he's got a nice setup. He's got wifey. He's good. So I think he's all right. Although it might be something to where people believe that since he's a Triple H guy, I don't think it resonates that way. We get Rhea Ripley versus Nikki A.S.H., which ended up in a no contest because the women's champions, Carmella and Zelina, they mocked Rhea Ripley and said she's not a threat anymore. Pretty much saying that Zelina and Rhea will now have to Rhea will have to find someone to leech off of to take what she has to do to be a champion now. Can we get Rhea back? I'm just saying, can we get Rhea back? Almas defeats Reggie. I'm glad that Reggie had a match. Like a match. Maryse tells Beth Phoenix and Edge that their mixed tag match at Royal Rumble needs to be canceled because Beth told Maryse that she's not letting her get out of the match and offering her for a one-on-one tonight. Miz came out and went off on Edge, and Maryse hit Beth with the purse that had a brick in it. I'm hoping that this does not become a longer standing feud. I hope Edge finds someone else after to get into a storyline with. I think this is one of those storylines that we figured that everybody would want to hear and see, but the Mysterios and the Street Profits defeat Dolph Ziggler, Robert Roode, Apollo Crews, and Commander Aziz. After the match, the Mysterios toss the Street Profits over the top rope. Ray then tosses Dominic over the top rope. Okay. Alexa Bliss is back in therapy. I'm okay with these segments. I'm actually having some kind of fun with it. The Miz announced that he'll have a birthday celebration next week on Raw. And then we get Bobby Lashley defeating Seth Rollins, defeating him via disqualification. After the Hurt Business, Alexander and Shelton attack Lashley. Lashley fought back and then took out Cedric and Benjamin. SmackDown Tag Team Champions, the Usos came out and then attacked Rollins. So that's going to close out Raw. That wasn't too exciting for me, ladies and gentlemen. I can not care about anything that's going on here. They really need better buildup. They really do. It's just meh. That's going to lead us to AEW Dynamite. AEW Dynamite. It kicks off with Moxley's return to TV. I was so happy to see him. I really was. I wasn't like the, you know. Listen, you guys know for the longest I've been on the show. I fucks with Moxley for the longest. Dean Ambrose, Moxley, whoever. You know, people hate the comparisons, but he is our modern day Stone Cold in a certain way. But can you imagine if Stone Cold actually said that he was going to rehab? That shit will fuck us up, right? It would be weird. But, you know, the comparison is being, I mean, the charisma is not really much the same, but rough and gruff, anti-authoritarian individual who speaks like us, talks like us, kind of like, the, you know, same as Eddie Kingston as well. Especially, you know, us with Eddie Kingston's the hood guys, the New York guys. But with Moxley, he's just, you know, big boy. I think that him coming back and the way he did in his promo spoke volumes. I know a lot of people were confused about, you know, him talking about, you know, we all have dark sides and all demons and all that. But it's like, think about it. Just listen to him for what he's talking. After we had his promo, MJF told Warlow that he has to lower his paychecks because he put his hands on him. But if he qualifies for the Face of the Revolution ladder match, it will go back up. Wouldn't you have just fired him already? Like, I mean, I know there's a better storyline for this. I know that they're trying to book it to where Warlow just turns on him and shit. But wouldn't you? I don't know. Maybe it should be built differently. Yeah. Then came the match in which I basically was like, why are we doing this so quickly? And is this just to pop the crowd? We had Adam Cole and Britt Baker going against Orange Cassidy and Statlander, and I'm going, there's going to be a table that comes out. I know there is. I knew there was going to. I said somewhere along the line, there's going to be a table that comes out. And, of course, a table comes out. This match wasn't good. I really didn't give a shit. It was not good. Even the table spot was bad. Cole and Breaker win. In a backstage interview, Jericho said he doesn't care about Eddie Kingston. Santana Ortiz get upset. Because, you know, they got love for Eddie. They fucked with him. They came up with him in New York and all this bullshit, blah, blah, blah. And this is where we're starting to see the cracks, the chinks in the armor with the inner circle. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with it. Let's get the band together. Because remember, you know, Eddie and Santana Ortiz have history and impact also. So you might as well reference that too. So, since you guys reference a lot of other shit. Then we get Adam Cole challenging Orange Cassidy to a lights out section match. All right, go fuck yourself. Fuck you with this nonsense. CM Punk defeats Shawn Spears in less than 10 seconds after the match. MJF tries to attack Punk, but Punk's caught him trying to sneak up on him. Punk went to hit MJF, but MJF ran out. This is when he went to run out. He grabbed him by the scarf, but MJF was able to sneak out, and Punk put on his the Burberry scarf. We already spoke about the Cody promo, whatever. The House of Black with Malakai Black and Brody King, they defeat the Varsity Blondes very quickly. After the match, Pac had a video package, and he's addressing Malakai, telling him that he'll be on his way back, and they'll make sure that he'll be made of a martyr. Lance Archer with Jake. Okay, it was good to see Jake was back. Go head-to-head with Frank Kazarian. Frank is a constant pro. I have to say that. And to be used as the tool for this, it made a lot of sense. Archer, thankfully, he's not going to be using a lot of his goofy ass fucking big man on the top rope moves. Let's not do that anymore. And he gets the win over Kazarian. And after the match, AEW champion Paige comes out. And the two just had a slugfest. In a weird segment in the back, they had a Red Velvet with Chris Statlander, who was discussing what happened in her match. And Layla Hirsch comes out, which, by the way, she's so adorable. She's cute as shit. Just a cute little button. She wasn't happy and talking about how Statlander hurt her career and her money during a match last week. And she was confronted by Red Velvet telling her to chill the fuck out, and which Layla attacked her and Statlander. Serena Deeb defeats Sky Blue, which, by the way, Sky Blue is woof. Yummy. Yum, 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 yum. By the way, I like Serena Deeb a lot. I like Serena. But, oof. Sky Blue. Woof. Woofa. Matt Hardy then revealed that he has sold 51% of HFO to Andrade. And Andrade will be a presidente. And Hardy would deal with the day-to-day operations. What? I don't know. I don't know what the fuck is going on with this shit. And finally, we get Darby Allin and Sting defeating the Acclaim. I'm like, why was this the main event? Why wouldn't you have put the mixed tag as the main event? Why? I don't know. Like I said, this show is just, it's almost feel like it's run by a cokehead. I don't know. I don't know. So I watched Impact Wrestling this week. And I was, I'll tell you this, it was better than watching fucking NXT. Let's just say that, yes, they still have their hiccups, but I still say that this is a better show to watch than fucking NXT right now, honestly. First match we had on the night to kick up the show, we had Tasha Steele going up against Chelsea Green. Wasn't a bad match. We had Mickie James on commentary, and Savannah Evans was the muscle for Tasha. Tasha gets the win here over Chelsea in a fairly decent match. They gave Tasha the mic, and still a little green, but she sounded very believable. She was talking shit to Mickey, and it's interesting because it's going to lead up to their match for the Knockouts title. I was okay with the opening match. But then I got I got a little bit frustrated because then the next match was another women's match. We had a tag team match. I really didn't give a shit. Like, I was like, well, come on. And I know it's formerly the Icons. It's their influence. They're going against Jessica Havoc and Rosemary. Rosemary was taken out early during the match, which made it a 2-on-1. And I was ready. Like, what are we doing here? Why are we doing this? You're gonna start off a show with two women's matches. I tell you, you could say what you want. You might call me sexist, whatever. But women matches are not. It's not gonna put anyone over early. It's not. You gotta season it. Gotta put the men's in there. Had a Charlie Haas video package, which was cool. Then we get the conversation with Matt Cardona, who's going to be challenging Jordynne Grace for her digital championship. I still think that's a goofy belt. I think that's their intergender belt. but they didn't want to say that. But okay, we had Morrissey versus the Learning Tree with Brian Myers in a 2-on-1 handicap match. Morrissey gets the pin. Good match. I was okay with that. The one I was looking forward to was Jonathan Gresham going up against Stephen Masselin for the Ring of Honor World Championship match. Really good match. Really good match. I actually watched it twice. Really good fucking match. If you guys haven't seen it, check that match out. Really, really technical, really sound. And Jonathan Gresham gets the win there. Then we get Doc Gallows and Joe Doering defeating with Violent by Design, defeating Heath and Rhino. It was all right. I'm nothing to call home about. Josh Alexander versus Charlie Haas, another one, a really good technical match. This is what I'm saying, like AEW, like take pride in just having matches. Stop having to gimmick everything. Stop, everything has to be a fucking table spot. Stop the nonsense. Just have matches. Are you afraid to say that your audience won't hold? Oh no, our audience is different than that. No, you're just afraid. If you're gonna tell me that your audience is different than GCW, I can believe that. But your audience is not as different from Impact or from WWE too much. You just throw a little bit of seasoning with AEW, but you're doing it all the fucking time. Josh Alexander gets the win via submission. Really good match for their main event. So guys, I have to say, for my first foray to doing a review for Impact, it wasn't bad. I would have done without having two women's matches back to back, because I think that would turn off a wrestling crowd. But regardless of that, they held true to wrestling. I can't have any arguments about that. We get SmackDown kicking off with the Bloodline celebrating Roman's latest accomplishment, becoming the longest reigning Universal Champion of all time. Seth Rollins interrupts and said he soon will end Roman's title reign and claim that the Usos are responsible for Roman still being champion. And just like he said, Mox did back in the day. Ooh, okay. See, this is what I was saying. Yeah, you can name drop that. That's cool. Seth issued a challenge against the Usos to face Kevin Owens. And then the Usos, if they lose, they will be barred from the championship match at the Royal Rumble. Roman said that he wants to take stakes. If Seth and Kevin lose, then Seth loses the Universal title match, and Seth accepted this stipulation. Kofi defeats Madcap Moss, and this was due in part because Madcap Moss and Happy were talking shit that King Woods isn't around, but out came Big E with Kofi at the end of the match. Kofi gets the win, and Big E hits Madcap with the big ending, trying to lure Happy Corbin into the ring, but Corbin does not oblige. Aaliyah defeats Natalya via DQ after Natalya didn't want to let up after a turnbuckle and a ring rope hold. She continued to attack, but then Xia Li came out with the save. Xia Li's another one that's a little cute little thing, too. You're just a little cute little thing, aren't you? Cute little thing. WWE Diva Summer Rae was on the outside. She looking good as fuck, too. I follow her on Instagram. Shit. Her wrestling might not be up to par, but she look good as shit. Viking Raiders defeat Los Lotharios. And by the way, if I've not mentioned it before, I'm really a fan of having Los Lotharios as a tag team. I think that it was a long time coming. And hopefully they will progress. If they wait out the storm, I could see them having a nice run in a tag team division. Charlotte Flair and Naomi have a match, and we're still having these issues with Naomi and Sonya Deville. We still don't know what the fuck the heat is about. In this match, Sonya Deville is the referee, and Charlotte defeats her, although Naomi had the chance to win. And despite that, Naomi is not still going to get Sonya out of her hair. She loses due in part being held in a submission move, but Naomi never tapped. We next get Sami Zayn saying that Johnny Knoxville used test weapons on himself, and now he will do the same just to show that he's tougher. This is when we had the jackass spot. I laugh because Sami used a taser on him, on himself, and the way he sold it was fucking hilarious. I sort of said like he knows his spot with the company. He's good for his role. We get Johnny Knoxville comes out to let the crowd know that the equipment wasn't even pulled on, and he puts on the taser for real, and he shocks the shit out of him. And then after he gets shocked, he tosses him over the ring again, over the rope again. I mentioned earlier, we had Eric Bischoff in the back talking with Adam Pearce. Sonya Deville shows up, and this is where Adam Pearce lets her know that he wasn't happy with her inducting herself into that Naomi and Charlotte match. And so she needs to be reprimanded for it. So Sonya versus Naomi will happen next week on SmackDown. We get a match with Sheamus and Ricochet. Another one. I'm just hoping Ricochet gets his comeuppance one way or another. Might not happen anytime soon. We get Shinsuke Nakamura and Boogs, who met Jeff Jarrett backstage. Why? I guess because they both, Boogs and Jeff Jarrett, they both play guitars. I don't know. And finally, we got Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens. They defeat the Usos via DQ because Roman's interfered and laid out Rollins with a Superman punch. The Usos are now banned from ringside during the match. It wasn't a bad SmackDown. It sounds like it was bland, but it really wasn't. If you would watch it, it was more entertaining than I laid it out to be. And then finally, we have, of course, AEW Rampage. AEW Rampage was live. Why? I don't know. I guess it's because Mox came back. We got Jon Moxley going toe-to-toe with Ethan Page. And not a bad match. Moxley looks like he still had to, take off the little bit of ring rust that he has for a couple of months of being out. But it still wasn't a bad match. We get Moxie getting the win via submission. Moxie laid out Paige after the match with the pendulum shift. Moxie was leaving. We see that Bryan Danielson was standing at the stage in the rampway and giving that smile and applauding, giving a look. So there's possibly the leading up to a new storyline here. Trent Beretta defeats Nick Jackson. Okay. Hook defeats Serpentico. After the match, QT Marshall comes out and tells Hook that he won't allow him to be a sucker punch like that. He won't be allowed to be sucker punch like that. And that'll be the last time. Hook then grabbed QT and suplexed him on the floor. Listen, I know you young motherfuckers and you AEW marks love Hook. I'm not buying it. I'm not riding a wave with him. He's got a look. He's got a little swag to him. I get it. But as this whole shit with how they booking him, no. Send Hook. I'm not with the shits. I'm not sold yet. Let's see him in a match with somebody who can legitimately go. Honestly. And finally, we get Jade Cargill versus Anna Jay. And this was about the time where I said, yeah, I'm not watching this shit. And I cut it off, if you care. Jade Cargill won. Not watching that fucking nonsense. So that's going to wrap it up for us this week. I am going to go in depth to discuss what happened at the Hall of Fame next week, and as well as my thoughts about what happened at the World GCW event at Hammerstein. I'll talk about that as well. And also our watch along of Nitro with Whole Milk Mike is coming soon. So guys, before I go, I had a message for you guys. You know, I have one of my closing statements, but to be honest with you, it escapes me because I guess it wasn't really that important. But I do have to say this. We live in a society to where those who are in need are not getting the need that they deserved or should be provided. We live in a society in which the richer is getting richer, and the more popular are getting more praise than those who are doing the real work on the ground and making sure that our livelihood is being done for the better. With that being said, make sure you go out there when it's time for us to start, you know, putting boots to the ground and let our votes be cast, be known and recognized. Put individuals out there that you feel that are going to be put in place, that are going to represent you and your people and your communities and your neighborhoods, and not just individuals who have been there and their name has been recognized and in place for the longest. Sometimes these motherfuckers got to go. So I know we're in January, but the campaigns and stuff are going to be happening soon. So just start paying attention to individuals who will represent you, your culture, your people, your neighborhood, your community, and your livelihood. And stop putting these self-made millionaires who are lining up their pockets just because their name is recognizable. As always, make sure you check us out on all the social media outlets. Check us out on Instagram. Check us out on Facebook. Check us out on TikTok, as well as Twitter and all the other social media outlets. And always check us out on all the podcasting outlets, live stream, subscribe, be a part of the Turnbuckle Tabloid family. And as always, check us out at RageWorksNetwork.com and at RageWorks.net. Guys, I am out of here. More beer to drink and much more stories to tell. So I'm out of here. Check you guys later. Take a bump, y'all. We out.
Turnbuckle Tabloid.
3, 2, 1.
Tabloid.